focus. Let's focus a little on Samuel. John brought before us again a few moments ago the Word of God. The Word of God in our lives, in the daily events. Here we go again. Here's a man that has been walking with God. He has been in communion with God. The Lord is his rock. He is his Ebenezer. Hitherto hath thou helped me. Here in these dire circumstances, isn't this wonderful? The word of the Lord comes unto Samuel. He needs to know what to do. He needs direction in a difficult day. The Lord is faithful. Listen, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. Look at these words. For he is turned back. Turned back from following me. What is the measure that God uses to determine that this has happened? I only see one. He has not performed my commandments. The word of God and the children of Israel and Saul especially not following what God has given them is the sole thing that is set before Samuel. Samuel, it says, doesn't say he rejoiced in such a thing. He cried unto the Lord. I believe truly his heart was broken. I believe that. I believe his heart was broken for this man. But then Samuel is first a man of God. So it says he slept in the next morning. And no, it doesn't say that, does it? He rose early. He rose early to meet Saul in the morning. I said to some of my brethren yesterday, I believe that the best way to go to meet a difficulty is to meet it head on. Not skirt it, not say it didn't happen, but to go through that difficulty with the Lord's help that it might be made right. This is the principle we see. He met Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. Behold, he has set up a place and has gone about and has passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Tony said, what audacity. I've done what the Lord told me to do. You remember Samson? When finally he has given the secret away. And he has been flirting with disaster. And he says, you know, I'm going to get up just like I always did. And I'm going to break these things and I'm going to go out. And pretty soon, he is grinding corn with the Philistines. He is blind. He can't see any longer. Now, there's just one more thing that comes to me here. And that is the idea that I can blame the failure on somebody else. I can blame it on my brethren in the meeting. I can blame it on somebody else. I can blame it on the other young people or whatever. No, dear young people, I can only accept the failure myself when it comes in. I will deal with the consequences. The young person that lured me into that, they may not deal with them in the same way. How solemn these things are. Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen? Saul said, they have what? They have brought them from the Amalekites. And then again, Samuel, you've not been looking very carefully at that because you don't realize that I didn't do this. The people. Now it's another focus. And now remember, Samuel, you're nitpicking. You're just trying to cause a problem here. And you don't realize that we didn't spare them all. We only spared the best of them. It's just the best in this verse 15 of the sheep and of the oxen. And this is what our brother brought before us a minute ago. Don't you understand, Samuel, that the end justifies the mean? And the end is going to be good because there's going to be sacrifices for the Lord. It says to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Dear young people, listen to the man of God. Samuel said unto Saul, stay. Wait a minute, I thought Saul was the king. Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. Here's a man with spiritual power. Here is a man with support from God. Here is a man that can give the word of God for the moment in difficult times. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to be as we go home. This is the Lord's desire in studying the man of God. Not to study Saul, but to study the man of God and to see his response in a day of failure to the difficulties that were before them.
Something to say about the oxen and the sheep and the fatlings. They wouldn't have been, they truly wouldn't have been sacrifices, because how would they earn them? Those were things that they had taken, and technically they would have called it a sacrifice, but is it a sacrifice if you find a $10 bill hanging on the sidewalk and immediately go and drop it in a Salvation Army bucket?